This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe.
On WEEI.
Welcome back. Jones and Keefe. No Jones, no Keefe. They're taking some well-deserved vacation time. In their stead, you have Megan Ottolini. You have John Lyons. We're with you until 2 p.m. today. We just spoke with Christian Ellis about clinching the division, about going 8-0 on the road, about looking ahead to the playoffs. We talked to Hunter Henry earlier in the show. If you missed that, you can check it out on the Odyssey app, which is always live with WEEI, but it has a rewind feature. We can go back and listen to the segments that you missed, listen to the shows that you missed live. So always check that out. On top of that, you can join this show by calling 617-779-7937. Or you can text that same number if you just want to jump in. Text line very active today. Somebody's very upset about the way that Christian Barmore acted on the sidelines in that game. Whatever, man. I would just say about what Vrabel said on the morning show, and if you missed it, him saying, you know, he wants guys to take it up to the line. Wants to bring that violent game and bring that aggressiveness. And I'm paraphrasing here, but that's essentially what he said. Just be ready for that on the other side. You know, if you put that out there, it's going to be coming back in return. And so I think that Barmore was clearly very emotional and remained emotional after the game, even over that. He felt like it was really dirty in his opinion. I don't think that, like, I mean, there's going to be dirty plays, and I understand feeling annoyed and disgusted by that. But when you take it up to the line, the team on the other side, especially a divisional opponent, is going to take it up to the other line too.
And Vrabel was part of this. Like, he called that late timeout on that final drive of the second quarter.
With the shot of him on the sidelines
saying
shrugging
F-em.
And saying F him.
Yeah, like, he was part of that. So, he can't get that upset. Like, he wants them to play physically, and you got to understand that if you're going to do that to an opponent that's 3-12, that you're up 35-3 against at halftime, one of their guys is probably going to do something dirty. Like, the Jets got a taunting penalty down 28-3 earlier in that quarter. Like, that's kind of where it was heading. And then the hit on May that got the roughing the passer, then the Vrabel, I don't know if that was dirty, but it was a big hit. It was up high.
It was a nasty hit.
It was.
It was bad. It was like close to helmet. Like, you don't do that. That if anything, like, I understand being pissed off about that hit, because don't do that to Drake May. He's an MVP candidate. We are so soft on the quarterbacks, but don't do that in week 17. Like, that's a gross move.
And then you have the Vrabel timeout, and then this. So it really didn't surprised me that things went over the edge and got chippy. I think in a way, I'm glad it happened right before halftime so both teams could calm down a little and no one got hurt in the second half. And I'm not saying things totally calmed down the second half, but I think if that had been in the middle of the second quarter, maybe things would have escalated even further. So, and that's the thing. If you're going to be a physical team and you're going to go to the line, well, some team that's 3-12 that's losing by 32 points, one of those guys is going to go overboard.
Mark Daniels of Mass Live talked to Christian Barmore in the locker room after the fact. You remember Christian Barmore had Mike Vrabel like in his face trying to get him to calm down walking to the locker room. Came out of the locker room still hot. Went back into the locker room after winning and knowing that they had a chance of winning the division later that night. Still mad. This is what he told Mark Daniels. He said, quote, "I don't care if you're getting your ass whooped like that, play better. That's some dirty bleep right there. I told him to meet me at the locker room. I'm saying go tell him and go get him. I'm ready." I think Christian Barmore has quite a short fuse.
I think so too. And I think that's one of the things that when he came out and was drafted from Alabama, there was those things why he was a second round pick instead of a first round pick. Hey, there's an edge to this guy. And there was some other.
He has a short fuse. I've seen it.
So
he's quick to get hot.
And look, yesterday's game, he wasn't called for a penalty. Didn't really hurt the team. So he went up to that line after the whistle. They got into it, but it wasn't like there was some big fracas and there was a penalty. So I think it was one of those moments that the Patriots pushed it maybe a little too far with that Vrabel timeout. Then the Jets went way over the line after, and then that's how it escalated. I'm just glad, like I said, it happened before halftime.
The meet me in the locker room business is kind of ridiculous.
That reminds me of, you remember the old Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Garnett story?
Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yes, when Carmelo went to the team bus.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Garnett, Honey Nut Cheerios. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of too.
That was a good, that's an all-timer.
I bet you Barmore is still mad about this today.
Yeah.
Like, I bet you he'll be mad.
I almost
feel
bad for Quinn Ewers because I feel like some of this is going to be taken out on him next Sunday against Miami.
I guess that's the business you're in. But the Twitch chat is mad that I said don't hit Drake May like that. That's a weak take. It was a bad hit. It was a dirty hit.
Yeah.
That was nasty.
Like, the hit from behind was clean. The initial hit. It was that second part where the guy coming from the front side went up high on him. Like, that's where you can't do that. Like, you literally, you actually cannot do that in the rules.
So, as I mentioned before the break, the number one seed in the AFC is up for grabs, maybe. Yeah. You need the Broncos to lose to the Chargers. I tend to think that's more of an improbability. I don't think the Broncos are anything great. I just watched them on Christmas against that third string Kansas City setup, and I was like, ugh. Like, they really did. I mean, I think the best thing that they have going for them is their home field advantage. Do you think that it's realistic that the Patriots will end up with the first round bye?
Realistic, yes. Likely, no.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if the Chargers can get... The Chargers, look, Harbaugh's a good coach. They have a good defense. Herbert's a good quarterback. But they still have that Chargers in them where it's like, can they get out of their own way sometimes? You wonder if they actually... Right, exactly.
And so, their quarterback has a broken hand.
Exactly. So I go into it and... I just don't see. I wish they would get the number one seed. I think it would benefit them more than just the obvious rest like it does every team. But I just don't see Denver losing. I just don't see Denver losing that game.
This is one of Christian Arcan from the night show, the Christian Arcan show, and also from our Sunday football show. One of his favorite facts is that the Patriots have played in the wild card round 5 times since 2001. They have never made it to the Super Bowl when they've had to play in the wild card round. I see in the notes of our show, you wrote, thanks for bringing up my Pats PTSD. Yeah, people might most recently remember the last time that they were in the wild card round with Super Bowl ambitions, because I don't think you'd say that about the Mac Jones year. It was when they lost to Mike Vrabel and the Titans. So I think
doors blown off that Mac Jones year, too.
Obviously, this is a different scenario because back then you had two buys up for grab. Now you only have the one. I still think, especially for this team, with how banged up they are, it is so crucial. If they get that first round bye, that's the difference to me between them being an AFC championship appearance team and a Super Bowl appearance team. I really think it's that different.
And it's funny, too, because I was also looking through it. Since they changed the playoff format to only one bye, because remember, I think 3 of the Patriots Super Bowl championships, they were the 2 seed as opposed to the 1 seed, so they wouldn't have had the bye in this scenario. But since they changed it, the only team that had the bye and won the Super Bowl was the 2022 Chiefs. So it hasn't been a slam dunk in this format. That being said, I think for this Patriots team specifically, it's more important than most. Like, and we all know the obvious. Hey, you don't have to play a game. You get extra rest. Duh. But I think for this team, because of the thing we've talked about since June and July, which is our concerns with their depth, they need a little bit of extra rest. Like, they need Will Campbell to be fully healthy. They need Milton Williams to be fully healthy. You don't want Vedarian Lowe and Corey Durden, no disrespect, as good as he played, to be starting at those positions in a playoff game or playing major snap. You want Will Campbell. You want Milton Williams. You want those guys healthy for a while. Even Travion Henderson, you want him to be fully healthy with some extra rest going into a divisional round. Because if they win a playoff game, he's probably going to be a big part of it because he's the most explosive player they have. He's going to be a big part of it. So it's obviously important for any team, but I think a team as young as the Patriots but as thin at certain spots as the Patriots, you want that. I mean, we just talked to Hunter Henry earlier on in this show. I mean, I like Austin Hooper, but how do you feel about a playoff game if Hunter Henry isn't fully healthy and rested? Like, not as good. So I think for this team, it's a little extra important.
So Twitch chat says that it's not like they can't win a Super Bowl. This is Vandy Pants. It's not like they can't win a Super Bowl with a wild card game. It's different guys wearing the same clothes. I understand that. But when you look at the playoff picture as it sits today, your wild card teams, there is a possibility that the Bills could be a team that you face in the wild card round. And honestly, like, I don't think that the Bills are as good as they've been in previous years, and you're clearly so much better than you've been in previous years, but that feels like a bit of a coin flip to me. And I don't think you want to take your chances with that. If something, you know, I'm not sure exactly how this can all shake out. I just think some of the possible wild card teams that you could see are a lot scrappier and a lot more of a, they're a more of a gamble than you would want to be seeing.
It's better than your average wild card
field. When you can go deep. Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Like if you look at in years past, like a couple of years ago was that Miami team that barely snuck in the playoffs and went out with a whimper against the Chiefs wild card weekend. There was that Steelers team a few years ago that wasn't that good. Like this year, whoever you play as the seven seed is going to be a good team. And even if it's the Chargers with a Herbert broken hand, which might be the most favorable matchup, that's still a really good defense. Harbaugh's a really good coach. Like, that's still a good team. You're going to be playing a good team. And another benefit of the number one seed, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but let's say it chalks up and all the favorites win. I think the weakest team in the playoffs is the Steelers.
Oh,
you would get them
for sure.
You would get them in the divisional round. Like, again, assuming the Steelers beat the Ravens, which I don't think is assured, but let's just say they do, I'd much rather play the Steelers in the divisional round, a team you should have beat if you didn't turn it over five times, then have to be in the divisional round and play Houston, right? Somebody like that, Jackson, somebody like that. I'd much rather, even Buffalo, like I'd much rather play the Steelers than any of those teams in the divisional round.
When you see the playoff picture as it is, and especially the quarterbacks who are going to be competing in the playoffs, like Drake May and the Patriots aside, this has been an incredible season for them. And obviously way more fun for us as media, way more fun for fans watching and getting to see a team play really well together, be really close, and have Super Bowl ambitions this year. Do you feel like the NFL kind of sucks this year compared to previous years?
I think the AFC isn't as good. Like, I look at the NFC, and I'm like, man, the Rams are awesome. And that 49ers team is coming together, and they're good. And the Seahawks, and of course, that's all one division, right? And the Eagles, they haven't had it all year, but you can still, like, Jalen Carter comes back yesterday, and they dominate the Bills for most of the game. Like, I think the NFC is good. The AFC, I think, is not as good as years past. And it's weird, too, because I think there's more depth to the AFC. Like, you're not going to get that Dolphins-Steelers team sneaking in at the seven seed, but I'm less afraid of the Bills as I was 2 years ago. The Chiefs aren't there. I'm not as afraid of the Jaguars as I would have been the Ravens 2 years ago or last year. And those are still good teams. It just doesn't feel quite as dominant. But you know what? We might have said that in 2021, and next thing you know, Joe Burrow's in the Super Bowl. Like, so I don't know. Maybe we'll look back on it and feel differently.
I guess I just don't feel like this is a moment that is as much as, like, passing the baton from one generation to the next of quarterbacks like it was in 2021. I think it's a lot of quarterbacks that are very competitive have been taken out by injury. And in the AFC, it really feels to me like Drake May and Josh Allen are the only scary, hyper-talented quarterbacks there. Not saying those other guys aren't good.
I think Lawrence is that talented. He just hasn't always put it together.
Yeah, well,
but I think
it's
with Liam
year
Cohen,
five.
No, but I think with Liam Cohen, like, now it's there. Like,
I don't believe in him. I just don't. I'm sorry. Like,
the thing that scares me the most, honestly, Mego, is that Houston defense. If you ask me one thing in the playoffs that scares me more than anything else, it's that Houston. I think the Houston Texans are fully capable of coming to Gillette Stadium and winning 17-10.
Yeah, I learned my lesson. I learned my lesson talking that talk with Cleveland. Like, I know
that
Cleveland's offense is not comparable exactly to Houston's offense, but I was like, whoa, Drake May's really going to be challenged by Myles Garrett in this Cleveland defense. Didn't freaking matter. Did not matter.
But I think even if you look at that game, if Cleveland had a semi-competent offense, that was a close game at halftime. Like, that would have ended up being a relatively close game. Like, Houston has an elite defense, and then Nico Collins can make a couple big plays. And C.J. Stroud, you can believe in him or not, light years better than Dylan Gabriel. So I hear you. I just, if there's one unit, it's in the Denver defense too, I guess. But that Houston defense, that's what they did to Buffalo on that Thursday night game too. I was like, whoa.
I've been mentioning this Bill Barnwell article from ESPN about who the Patriots have seen and where that stacks up in history as you're looking forward to the NFL playoffs and Super Bowl chances. We're going to address that right after Trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Now. Jones and Keefe on WEEI. And streaming on WEEI.com.
Allen looking to throw. Pressure throws. See a flag! Eagles gonna hold on!
That was the sound, the sweet, sweet sound of the Patriots clinching the AFC East with a loss from the Buffalo Bills to the Eagles. Addressing the text line, 617-779-7937, because I used Christian Arkan's favorite factoid of his entire life, was that the Patriots have not played in a wild card round and won and gone on to the Super Bowl dating back to 2001. Texter says they played in the wild card and won in 2001. They didn't. John Lyons, you want to take this over?
It was that Saturday night divisional round game, but not a tomato can Saturday Mm-mm. night because it was the Raiders.
There you
and
go.
It was snowing.
And was it the wild card, John Lyons?
It was the divisional
round. No, it was the divisional round. Come for the queen, you best not miss.
Oh, okay. Guess who's rewatching The Wire for the
are
third
you?
Time right now?
What season are you in?
We're in season 3 right now.
Oh, so good. So you made it past the desert of season 2.
You know what?
Don't be one of those season 2 people.
So let me put it, the first time I watched the show, I wasn't fully into season 2. Rewatching it, I like it more, and I understand and I get it more. Like, I always understood why, kind of to an extent. Like in season 4, when they get so into the school system,
season
and
4
they expand from there. Like,
probably the best one.
My favorite season 1, just when they get all and Avon and Stringer up in the towers. I love that. But like, no, I like season 2. It's my least favorite of the seasons, but yeah, I'm in season 3 right now. But look at you. So we'll call you Miss Omar for the rest of
I love that.
The show.
I would happily take that nickname. I love The Wire, one of my favorite shows. Also one of my favorite sources of gifts.
Yeah.
But
we'll call you Megan Omar, Megan Otto Omar.
Like, something. We'll workshop it during a break. I can't stand season 2. It's so hard because when you tell
I feel
people
bad for Frank, man.
Yeah, of course. You feel
bit.
Bad for the duck.
Nikki.
At the bar.
Yeah, that's not cool. Yeah.
No, don't give your duck beer until it dies.
And whiskey. Not just beer and whiskey. That was too much. Yeah.
That duck went out. Duck went out with a party. But when you try to recommend The Wire to people, first of all, it's tough in like today's entertainment ecosystem because you're like, you really can't look at your phone at all. You have to sit down, figure out who every character is and why you're paying attention to them and why they're important. And there's like 14 characters that you immediately have to follow.
I will say it's one of those shows though that it's better the more you watch it.
Yeah, because so, like, you pick it- up things, you're so locked in trying to pay attention to the plot and what's going where that you pick up on all these little jokes and everything that otherwise you don't get.
When he says the WMD stuff is the bob. I never picked that, like the first time I watched it, I did pick that up and then I did the other day. I was like, oh, that's a good one.
But then you get people attached to it from season 1 and they go to season 2 and all of a sudden it's like almost a completely different story and it's kind of irritating. I mean, it's really challenging for people.
I like it. But again, it's of the 5 seasons, it's my least favorite is season 2.
People are saying now about games before 2001 when they played in the wild card, clean out your ears. I said since 2001. If you have an issue with this, take it up with Christian Arkan. But those are the facts, sir. That's how it worked out. Since 2001, that's what happened. And if you want to look back on that and say, it truly doesn't matter because this is a completely different team and the only relationship that you have to those previous teams are ownership and Mike Vrabel having played on some of those teams, that's totally fair. I understand that. I'm more saying that when you look at the situation of the teams who will be in the wild card round, I would just rather you not face any of those teams, especially when you have 3 guys on the IR. Now Mac Hollins is on the IR. I do believe that Mike Vrabel said today to the media who are down at Gillette Stadium that Will Campbell is expected to practice this week. So that's moving in a really good direction, but your team is very banged up, and it's definitely important that you get as much rest as possible.
And it's funny because like Milton Williams and Spillane and Will Campbell, like I want those guys to play this week against Miami because I want them to kind of get some game action under their belts before the playoffs. but then I want them to have the next week off to make sure they're fully rested. Like, I don't want a situation like, and I've compared this team a lot to the 2010 team because of all the young guys and the new guys and all that. One of the pieces of that playoff loss to the Jets is Brandon Spikes missed the last four games. He was suspended. Missed the last four. Showed up back for the Jets game, and their defense just didn't look quite right during parts of that game. Like, I don't want something like that. I want them to play well right before the playoffs, but then still have that bye where they're fully rested. Because, and the thing about the Dolphins, too, they're not good, but they don't suck like the Jets suck. Like, they'll at least present you, like, Devon Achane's a legitimately great running back. Jalen Waddle's really talented. So, like, they'll at least give you some things that, like, you have to prepare for that will challenge you in a game, which I think if you have that, then a week off, then you're in a great spot heading into the playoffs.
Absolutely. And as you look at heading into the playoffs, with a little context, Mike Vrabel did say this morning that he expects everybody who's healthy to play in that Week 18 game. So it's not like you're going to have this huge layoff if you get the bye the following week. You're going to have guys that you saw yesterday still be active the following week. But when you look at what noise they can make in the playoffs, in case you missed this because it came out on the Christmas holiday week, Bill Barnwell had this big piece in ESPN. He always does looking at the teams at the end of the week and following the Sunday slate and whatever weird slate the NFL is putting out around the holidays. But he said this about the Patriots and the Patriots schedule. And he said the Patriots have played the 10th easiest schedule of any team since the AFL-NFL merger back in 1970, and the second easiest of any team in the 21st century. Easy doesn't cut it. We're talking about a generational gift of a slate of opponents, and that's without even considering getting to play the Ravens, one of the few solid teams the Pats have faced, with their backup QB for half of the game. Should that disqualify the Patriots from being taken seriously as Super Bowl contenders? If we use the same metrics as he describes earlier in this article and look back into the past, the answer is no. Teams with easy schedules often post gaudy regular season records, but when the competition gets tougher in the playoffs, they don't stop winning there either. And he goes through several teams. You can start with the Dolphins in 1970, who lost in the divisional round, but you have the Rams, Colts, Bills, and 72 Dolphins, that famous team, who all at least appeared in the Super Bowl. Yeah,
that was the 99 Rams, right, that won the Super Bowl, I think?
Dolphins. No, 99 Rams won the Super Bowl. Yes. So
with an easy schedule.
Three out of four won the Super Bowl. Four of those teams were in the Super Bowl. Everybody else, at least made it to the divisional round. Again, this is historical, so most of these teams were teams who had the two bye system that doesn't exist anymore. But it goes to show, like, I know people get pissed off about the easy schedule talk. I understand it, because you also have the second highest point differential of any team in the NFL. So you're not just scraping by these crappy teams. You are annihilating them in some instances. You are laying the smack down on them like you did against the Jets yesterday. So take it with confidence. Like, you should go deep into the playoffs. This should not be something that disqualifies you. At the same time, with a team that is as young and smooshed together in terms of all the free agents who came in, it's also fair to look at it and say, can they sustain it? Can they rise to the challenge when they're going to be seeing the margins be much slimmer as you go into the playoffs?
And I think that's where the uncertainty with them being so young kind of comes into play. Like, if this was a veteran team, you'd be like, all right, they've been there before. And some of these guys have, but
a lot of these guys have. You have Milton Williams, you have Carlton Davis.
Right, won a Super Bowl.
There are Super Bowl champs in that locker room. Garrett Bradbury has been deep in the playoffs with the Vikings.
Yeah, and Stephon Diggs been to the AFC Championship game, right? But then you also have a lot of guys who have never made the playoffs before, and you don't know quite exactly how they're going to react and how they're going to feel in those moments. And it's another interesting discussion, too, because you go back to, like, last year. Well, they played the Titans last year. Drake May played his worst game, and they lost in overtime. This year, they beat them by 3 touchdowns. Like, last time they went to New York to play the Jets last year, they got their butts kicked, lost, I think, 24-3. This year they won 42-10. So it's like, yeah, okay, they've played some of these easy teams, but look at last year's team, the Patriots were really bad, and they showed it against those teams. This year's team is really good, and they've showed it against those teams. So, again, I talked about this earlier in the show. That's where that Sunday night win in Baltimore, to me, makes such a huge difference. That was a real deal test. And I know Derrick Henry sat, I get it, all that. But they passed it. Like, to win that game, I think should give you more confidence heading into the playoffs.
I don't want to be a hater. I don't call that a signature win. And I was talking about this on radio yesterday before the game. I think if you want to look at a signature win for this team, it was the first time they saw Buffalo. When they went in on Sunday Night Football and beat that team and forced takeaways and really shocked that team. That team, they were wearing their special stupid uniforms, their rivalry uniforms, the all whites that they should burn and never wear again, especially in their new stadium that's coming along. And they thought that that was going to be like another coronation for them of beating down the Patriots. That was the signature win to me. And I understand like what you did in that game doesn't directly translate to everything that's brought you success the rest of the season. It's not the biggest game that Drake May has had. You haven't seen Stephon Diggs have that level of production week to week to week. It's really been spread around the receivers. But the Ravens game, it cannot be denied that you were playing against a really good backup quarterback. Technically former pro bowler, but they did give you the opportunity by being incredibly stupid and sitting Derrick Henry.
And I agree with you. I think the Bills game is the best win of the season, but I think that Baltimore win is not far off because of you go to Baltimore, you play a night game, even if the Ravens suck, that's a tough environment. And then it's Lamar Jackson played half the game. Okay, comes out. Derrick Henry inexplicably gets taken out. I get it, but it's still a defense that has Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton and had been playing much better over the past month than it had earlier in the year. And you went down a 92-yard drive to win the game. You did it. Then you force Zay Flowers is a first-round pick, really good player, and Kalyvon Chaisson forced a fumble on him to seal the game.
Yes.
Like, to me, that's the part of it that's the that makes it a signature win, that makes it a great win. It's not that you played Tyler Huntley for 60 minutes and beat him by 30. Like, it was a tough grind where, again, May didn't play well in the first half, and they rebounded from it. Like, it would have been very easy for them to, we're down 24-13, we're not playing well, pack it in, and they didn't do that. That's why it gives me confidence for the playoffs, because, you know, in the playoffs, you're going to have a bad 5 minutes. Your Commanders did it to Detroit last year. Bad 5 minutes, your season could be over.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join us on the phones or on the text line. We're going to start off with John in New Jersey. John, you want to talk about the Patriots' Super Bowl chances?
Yeah, if I remember when I was a kid, they was going to the Super Bowl every single year. Tom Brady, he was the GOAT. I wish to see that again, but at the end of the day, do I think it'll happen? I don't know.
Okay, thanks, John. Strong take, dunno. There's a lot stacked up against them without Tom Brady.
But I think this is, like, you go back to those years when they made the Super Bowl every year, you would go into the playoffs knowing, all right, at a minimum, these guys are good enough to be in the AFC Championship game. And we've seen them do it, and that's how good the coaching is, the talent is, Brady is, Gronk is, whatever, Moss is, whatever, pick whatever year you want, right? This year, there are some of those guys, you talked about it, Williams, Davis, right? But you have a lot of guys that you don't know that about yet. I mean, maybe Drake May goes into the playoffs and throws for 350 yards a game and dominates. Maybe goes in the playoffs and has a bad game, which can happen to a second-year quarterback. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. Or maybe Kayshawn Booty gets in the playoffs, he's not ready for it. And I'm not saying, but we don't know it with these guys yet.
Yeah. Okay, let's take another call here before we go to break. Sean in Connecticut. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Mego. I love listening to you. You're really good at your job, first
Thank
of
you.
All. But I, you know, today it's been a lot about the weakness of the Patriots' schedule. Well, like you guys have said it, everybody's saying it, you can only play who you can play. And, like, before the season started and they and the Kraft and Vrabel, they saw the schedule. I mean, were they supposed to go have a meeting with Roger Goodell and say, hey, listen, this isn't hard enough. You know, we can't play these teams. I mean, you can only play who you can play. Weak or not, doesn't matter. You still have to go on a run in the playoffs against some very good teams. So go a little easy on the schedule, will you, Mego? I mean, there's nothing they can do about it.
You know,
it's like I'm on the highway right now, and the speed limit's 65. Am I supposed to call the governor and say, yeah, you know, probably should only be 63?
Thank you, Sean.
That would
drive
be an interesting
safely.
Phone call.
Drive hey, safely on those Connecticut highways. They can be crazy.
Yeah.
But I understand the perspective, and I agree with it. I'm telling you that even in this kind of snarky article that Bill Barnwell wrote last week, he's saying having an easy schedule does not disqualify you from having a really good shot at least making an appearance, if not winning the Super Bowl.
And they had an easy schedule, and they took advantage of it, and they've won 13 games. Like that, to me, that's the key. It's if they had this schedule, and they were 8-8 after 16 weeks, or they were 10-6, but they had barely beat Cleveland, barely beat Tennessee, I'd be looking at it a lot differently. The fact that, you know, they beat the Titans' brains in and they dominated the Browns and they dominated the Panthers, like that, I think, I know style points are overrated, but in this situation, I do think that matters a little bit.
Okay, we are going to take a very quick break away from football. We're going to get into a little bit of NBA. Don't worry, if you hate the NBA, you might want to hear this. Because the NBA has some ideas about how they say they're going to fix themselves, how they're going to make themselves a more attractive product to fans. Spoiler alert, it doesn't have to do with the three-point line, but it has to do with some other aspects of the league. I personally love the NBA, but even if you don't like the NBA, you're going to want to hear what ideas they're cooking up over there right after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Doing a ton of football today. It is Patriots Monday. If you missed our interviews with Christian Ellis and with Hunter Henry, you can find them on the Odyssey app, which always has WEEI live, but you can use the rewind feature. Find all the shows you missed. Find the Greg Hill show this morning and the interview that they had with Mike Vrabel, which was great. But we are going to take a little short break from football. I promise next hour will be all Patriots football again. But here I do want to talk about a little piece of news that I saw come across my phone/computer about the NBA. So the NBA is one league that I think is trying to be innovative about how to make their regular season games more attractive to casual fans. If you're a fan of a sport and a league, you're going to watch that team, right? Hockey fans, hardcore Bruins fans are going to watch every Bruins game that they can. You don't need to win those people over. The NBA has their stars. They have different things that attract casual fans to the league, but they know that they're not football. They got to find different ways to let people know that these games matter. As many of them are, they matter. And so some of the top brass in the NBA got together and apparently had been gathering input, according to a Sham Sharania article from ESPN, between its owners and general managers on ways to combat tanking. So the NBA famously is one of the leagues that embraces the idea of tanking because, I mean, not our Celtics, but the rest of the league.
Never.
Because
not when they sacked Paul Pierce in 2007.
You're able to change so much about your team if you can get the right player. If you can get the right lottery pick, boom, look what you can do. Look what happened with
the Mavericks
last year. It can really be a tool in your rebuild, but it can really make regular season games painful to watch. So here's what Sharania wrote. He said, in recent years, multiple teams have either shut down players early or sat players for games to try to improve their draft positioning, often tied to a protected pick. Sources said multiple ideas were proposed as a brainstorming measure to combat tanking. Those ideas include limiting pick protections to either top 4 or 14 and higher, which would eliminate the problematic mid-lottery protections. No longer allowing a team to draft in the top 4 2 years in a row, and locking lottery positions after March 1st. These ideas, which came from the league and its high-ranking officials, would theoretically dissuade non-playoff teams from sitting their starters for games throughout the season and provide reason to continue to try to win games, particularly down the stretch of a campaign. As multiple sources described, the attempts to find solutions to tanking are not intended to deter rebuilding teams who use their players as normal, but rather teams that deliberately manipulate their rosters down the stretch of a season to land a higher pick or a protection range. The one that's most fascinating to me here, John, no longer allowing a team to draft in the top four 2 years in a row, because who's the big dog in the NBA right now?
OKC.
OKC.
And they're going to draft top five.
Which is insane.
But I feel like there's going to be an exception to that. Like if it's a traded pick, like if I draft two overall this year, and then next year I have the third pick, but it's because a pick I traded for, that should be exempt from that.
I'm not sure. These are just ideas.
No, but I'm saying I'm thinking that should be exempt from that.
What do you think that any of these are a real solution for, even just the situation of fans going to a game and seeing their favorite player sitting, or the reason why the ticket prices were so high in the first place?
Well, I think part of that too, and I don't know if this is mentioned in there and I missed it, but they should start the season a week or two earlier and eliminate back-to-backs. I think that would eliminate some of that. Guys sitting out. Because how many times when guys, we saw with the Lakers-Celtics game December 5th, where some guys on the Celtics played the night before, some didn't, some guys on the Lakers played. And then you end up in a Celtics-Lakers game with no LeBron, no Luka, like all these. So that should be part of it. The one that interests me on the list you said is locking in lottery positions at March 1st. Because I think if you are one of the five worst teams in the NBA, say on March 1st, you're probably not going to get that much better over the month of March, right?
Well, and you probably don't want to because you want those picks.
But at least then it would incentivize you to maybe play hard over the last month, so that way some of those young guys you have can improve. Maybe some of the, like we talk about it sometimes in the NFL, where guys play hard that last game, even if they're eliminated, to put stuff on tape for their next team.
Right.
Maybe then NBA players would start doing some things like that, playing harder later in the season if, hey, we have the third best lottery odds and it's not going to change no matter what we do.
Do you think that there are ideas outside of tanking that would help make the NBA more attractive to casual fans?
Well, I would get rid of the NBA Cup. I hate that, and I know it.
See, that's where they're trying to bring it in.
I get that they're trying to do it.
It seemed to have a bounce in the first time that they did it because people were so interested in the gambling.
I think it comes down to you want your star players to play as many nights as possible, and that's why the first thing I said was, find a way to get rid of back-to-backs. And they did the thing a few years ago where you have to play, at least 65 games to get awards. I like that, so that's part of it. But also now, if you then eliminate back-to-backs, you don't have to worry about what happened on that Lakers-Celtics game December 5th. And that's not the only time it's happened. That's just the freshest in my memory. That would be find a way to eliminate back-to-backs. Because, again, the NBA, and I know a lot of people are like, well, the 90s guys played all that. And some of the guys today maybe are a little softer than those guys. But also, there's a lot more running going on in the NBA now, and it takes a lot more endurance than guys who played in the – and guys who have played in both eras have talked about that. Kevin Garnett, I think, said, hey, if I played in the current era, I would struggle a little bit keeping up sometimes.
I don't think he would, though.
I don't think he would either.
I think he was being diplomatic.
But I think it speaks to if you don't have back-to-backs, then you don't have to. And I just think it's a better product. I mean, the Celtics play better with rest than on back-to-back, just like all 30 NBA teams.
My easy fix is eliminate the corner three. I think the three-point line should be cut at the corners. I think the three-point line, so if you can envision it, it's like, you know how it's half of a circle? Basically, the lower third of that circle should just be cut out. If you're shooting from those corners, it doesn't count for three. It's just another two. Because the three-point corner shot is just become too much of a cheat code in my mind, where it's just easy to run down there and you see these leads don't even really matter. You have a 25-point lead, who cares? Get down there, throw a couple of corner threes up. But that's just my personal opinion. Wanted to check in on that because I think it's interesting whenever a league is trying to innovate, make themselves more attractive, which is something the NFL certainly doesn't have to do. They're always looking to add games. We will get back to our Patriots' big takeaways from clinching the AFC East yesterday, going 8-0 on the road, and of course, beating the Jets after this break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.